This is Smith College Podcasting, and I'm Marilyn Lewis. For the 2008-2009 academic year, Smith introduced a new position, Wellness Education Director. Emily Nagoski filled this position and joined the campus community last fall. We're here today to chat with Emily about the efforts her office has initiated and her longer-range plans at Smith. Hi, Emily. What issues does a Wellness Education Director address?
My role on campus is parallel to the roles of a lot of other people on campus. So the faculty are in charge of teaching the stuff that happens in the classroom, all the academic stuff. Over in Student Activities Office, they have a leadership director whose job is to teach how to be a leader. And my job is to teach the development into a person part of it. The mission of Smith is to prepare women of promise for lives of distinction. A life of distinction is an extraordinary life, not the life of just anybody. And to manage an extraordinary life requires extraordinary skill. My job is to teach the skills they're going to need by the time they leave Smith in order to be able to be a fabulous person to their family and their friends and to do really amazing in their job or whatever life course they choose to pursue, which requires the ability to balance your health. You know, the first thing that falls off the truck when you're overloaded is your physical activity and your nutrition and your sleep. If you're low on sleep, if your nutrition is poor, if you're not getting any physical activity, they're going to slow down the way your brain works. They're going to make your decision-making bad. They're going to make your mood really grumpy so you're unpleasant to be around. So reversing the prioritization that people learn early on in life through our culture, from the time that they get here to the time that they leave, ideally, they will at least have begun to question whether or not prioritizing things like sleep and nutrition and communication with their friends and family above their job is the way that they should manage their lives. That's basically what I do.
I understand that you've attended many teas on campus. What are you learning from these conversations with the students?
They have been fascinating. I've gone to tea at about a dozen houses. Most of the time, I just go and answer whatever questions they have. Sometimes there's a theme. I went to a house up in the quad where the theme was technically stress. So rather than going in and doing a prepared thing on stress, I just said, what questions do you have about stress? The first question that they asked me was, how do we keep out of each other's drama? Their conceptualization of stress was not about stress or being overwhelmed by coursework or time management or any of the really traditional things that when you're learning to be a health educator, you learn stress is. They think about stress in terms of a very holistic, very whole life, person-centered thing. Their stress comes from the way that they interact with the other people in their lives. They want to be good to the people in their lives. And they really want to be good at their schoolwork and everything else that they get into. So how do they decide whether they should be focusing on their own schoolwork, which is focusing on themselves, or helping their friend, which is a really generous, kind thing to do? They don't want to be unkind, and at the same time, they don't want to be unsuccessful. That, for them, is the source of a great deal of stress, and I would not have assumed that. Other schools that I've worked at, stress is very much about, like, I've got so much work I need to get done, I don't know how I'm going to do it. Students at Smith seem to know how to do the work. They're good at it. It's only when you add the other stuff on top of it that they get overwhelmed, so they need help with that stuff instead. That's what I've learned from the T's.
What have you identified as top student concerns?
Top student concerns. By talking to the students, I've learned that they are very concerned about food. All females in America are concerned about food and body image, so that's one of the things. One of the main things I was hired to do was alcohol stuff. They're not as worried about it as the faculty and staff are, but that is an issue. Students, like students everywhere, drink alcohol most of the time. If they do drink, not all the students drink. A big chunk of the students just kind of don't drink at all. Most of the students who do drink do so in a totally responsible way, and there's a small proportion of students who drink in a way that it interferes with their academic performance and their families and their physical health and stuff like that. Stress is the number one thing. About 40% of students nationally have their academic success interfered with by their level of stress, and almost the same number have their academic success interfered with by infectious disease, cold and flu. Wash your hands is one of the main things students could potentially be doing to improve their success, but that's not a thing students actually talk about.
Emily, please tell us about the new programs you've scheduled this spring.
This spring, there are two things that are brand new that I'm going to be doing. One is on February 10th at 7:30 in the Goldstein Lounge, a program I'm calling Want A's, Get Some Z's, which is all about sleep. The top three things that affect a person's well-being are physical activity, nutrition, and sleep. They get taught about physical activity, nutrition in high school, and there's a nutritionist on campus, and there's the whole Ainsworth gym. There's resources for that. There's nothing on campus that talks about sleep. So here I am. It's going to cover sort of the physiology of sleep, how it actually works, what happens to your brain, to your cognition, to your mood when you don't get enough sleep, and how you can improve the quality of your sleep without necessarily increasing the number of hours that you get. I know it's unrealistic to ask students to get 8 hours of sleep a night. Who of the adults on campus gets 8 hours of sleep a night? So instead, I'm going to talk about ways to fall asleep more quickly, to have more restful sleep, and to make up for sleep when there are times when you can't get enough sleep, how to nap effectively, that kind of thing. And then the second one, this is brand new. In early April, I'm going to have a program that will be about how to schedule your final exams in a way that maximizes your success based on your circadian rhythms. Smith has this totally unique finals system where you get to choose when you take your finals. Most of the time, people are going to choose when to take their finals based on pragmatic issues. They've got a plane ticket. They've got a certain day that they need to be home. They've got a certain number of finals they need to accommodate. And there are set times when those are offered 3 times over the course of a day. If you're a morning person, take them in the morning. If you are a night person, take them in the evening. The middle time is the time when students are most likely to have their midday dip. And so we know already from the research that students are less likely to do well because their cognition is slowed down, even their physical responses have slowed down. So that sort of thing. And knowing whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, if you're going to be in a big crowd of people when you're taking an exam, it's better to space them out a lot, so that you don't wear yourself out being around a crowd of people. If you're an extrovert, maybe doing 2 in a single day is better for you because you get the energy charge of being around more people.
Smith is participating in the National College Health Assessment Survey for the first time. What's the importance of the assessment and the significance of Smith's involvement?
The National College Health Assessment assesses students' experiences, attitudes, and behaviors around every health issue you can imagine. It is not a perfect instrument. It doesn't assess everything, but it does a whole lot. It covers stress and infectious disease. It covers sexuality, food, mood, physical activity. All the big categories are covered. So what it will tell me is the incidence and prevalence of different specific issues on campus, like risky sex or eating disorders or the things that make you worry about students. When I know what those numbers actually are, I can set priorities based on that data. If it turns out that only less than 1% of students on campus are putting themselves at risk by some particular behavior, it's not something I'll probably devote a lot of time and resources to. But if it turns out that 20 or 30% of students are at risk for that behavior, that's a real target for me. It's going to be the first time that we'll ever have had this data about Smith College students, and I'm really excited to have the data.
Do you have any wellness advice you'd like to offer to the greater Smith community?
Anytime you try to give pat advice about this sort of thing, people go, oh, that's nice. And you haven't actually given them anything practical to do. One of the best books about wellness that I've ever read is a book by Jon Kabat-Zinn called Anywhere You Go, There You Are. Actually, it's called Everywhere You Go, There You Are. And there's a chapter title called Recognizing the Blossom, which is about stopping just any given moment and paying attention to where you are, how your body feels in this particular moment, what sounds are around you, what do you feel. If you're just walking from one building to another, noticing the color of the sky and the temperature of the air, which is easier on some days than on others, and the colors around you and the people and the sounds that you can hear. Stopping at any time over the course of the day and just noticing where you are and how you feel is a tiny thing that you can do a couple of times over the course of the day that will begin gradually to change the way that you think about your life and your health.
You've just heard from Emily Nagoski, Smith College Wellness Education Director. Thanks so much, Emily.